Well, hello once again, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. It's such a joy to be here with you all. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. And Dan, how are you doing? How is life treating you?
I'm doing well. I am thankful for these couple of days here. We're getting more of a taste of spring. I know it's not going to last quite yet, but it is very nice. And so doing well overall. Yeah, you too?
I'm doing good. It is amazing, the difference. And I know I say this every summer. I know I say this spring. I know I say this pretty much every single time we record this in the spring. It is amazing what a slight change in temperature can do. I'm wearing shorts again. And that in and of itself is like, it's so good. It makes a difference.
It's not that warm for those listening. Austin, for him, short-wearing weather, it doesn't have to get much above 50.
Honestly, just so you know. It's so funny because shorts weather for me starts at like 45 in the spring, moves up to 50. But then in the fall, it's like anything below 60, like that is long pants and like thermal underwear.
Yeah, different story in the fall. Yeah,
different context somehow make a huge difference. But I am loving the warm weather, and I'm, again, just so loving how this series thematically ties into springtime.
Sure.
Talking about, cultivating our spiritual gardens as we get ready to cultivate our literal gardens. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have been doing a lot of, actually, we're in the planning. It's really amazing how this is lining up, because we literally, last week, just sat down and were like, okay, let's start planning. What plants do we want? Where do we want them? How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And that lined up really well with this last sermon. So would you be willing to give us a quick recap of what this last sermon was?
Yeah, right on that line, right? As we're thinking about how do we cultivate this relationship with the Lord, he's made this possible through Christ. That's kind of where we started the series. It's what we're made for. But there is this call, remain in me as I remain in you. We're given some responsibility in that too. And so we said you really start with this intentional direction and planning. We are going to tend this garden. As you think about this spring, we're going to do that in our backyard, and here's what we're going to grow, and you kind of make this plan to go about that. So we are using 2 Chronicles 15 as kind of a guide through some of this series, and there we see that God's people are already kind of engaging a time of renewal, but then the prophet comes to King Asa and really urges this to continue. Like, you need to keep at this, right? And there's that very intentional direction, that phrase that we tied in with, be seeking the Lord, seek the Lord, that point in his direction. And so we talked about that, just what does that seeking look like? What does that even mean? How can we be wise or smart in the way we go about those efforts and energies, right? And I think with the garden image, right, it might be we know that certain sides of the house are better to plant on than others because of shade, maybe because of soil, other things in the same way. Let's put our efforts in good, wise directions. And then just the strength that's needed for this seeking. It's not a one day and you're done with it. It takes perseverance. It takes time. There's ups and downs with it. So that was kind of the outline we followed, seeing how that even worked in the text. So, just that beginning piece of we need to point ourselves in the Lord's direction if we're going to be tending that garden before we do anything else.
And I really loved the mental image of, how gardens don't grow on fairy dust.
Yes.
funny image in the first place, but also really so accurate, because I think oftentimes we'll fall in one of two camps when it comes to our spiritual life and our spiritual growth. And there's the one side of the camp, which to carry on with an amusing mental image, it's the image of, I'm going to just flap my arms really, really hard. And if I flap my arms hard enough, I can eventually fly.
Yeah.
And then there's the other camp, which is, I don't have to do anything. It's just going to grow on God's fairy dust, pretty much. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And so finding that happy space in the middle where I guess it's a little bit of fairy dust and a little bit of us flapping our arms, that's just a really important, a funny image to keep in mind and really honestly helpful for me keeping this concept.
It's how God works things, right? We noted that God, but for natural gardens too, God provides so much pixie dust, you can call it that. I mean, literally, just think about it. You put those seeds in the ground and what happens there? It's all God's work, really. But he gives the rain and the soil and the sun, all that. But then there is this part of, our responsibility. You got to plant those seeds. You got to pull the weeds. You got to tend that garden. So yeah, I think you're right. It's a beautiful kind of in between, finding that balance.
And it's like any relationship, it requires both of us to work towards it. Yeah. And I think we sometimes forget that we remember our side of our relationship with God a lot, And then there is the other side. God is putting in work to this.
Yeah.
And I think that's also really important for us to remember and acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
To get to some of the questions I've got for you, I'd like to start with our need to be seeking the Lord. One of the points you made in that section at the start of the service was just that seeking the Lord is both an expression of dependence and intentional effort. You know, kind of like what we were talking about. Like, we need, like, God's putting in his part of the work as well. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but I really think the dependence part is where we get so caught up a lot, as American Christians especially. I mean, our culture is so focused on being independent and self-sufficient, and we really tend to look down on people who are dependent on others or relying on others or not able to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a challenge for us, I think, as we apply it, you know, we apply that to everything except our faith. And it's like, how can we possibly, like, that's hard for us to separate.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, especially given the context of this sermon, what does it look like to be publicly dependent on the Lord in a culture that prides itself on and prioritizes self-sufficiency?
Yeah, I think there is a bit of an idol, right, that we can kind of sell ourselves up as being all we need, right? I'm a self-made person, right? That's a phrase we use a lot in this culture. And I think we've talked about it even on this podcast before, perhaps, right? Just that's even take the faith out of the picture, and that's not true, right? We've all needed the molding and help and support of maybe parents growing up or siblings. We probably worked for other companies that we didn't start and develop ourselves, financial systems, governments, you know, there's all kinds of things that we are dependent on from day to day. And I think there is a calling, right? And this is where the balance comes in, to be working ourselves in whatever capacity we are given to do that, just like we talked about in our relationship with the Lord. But as far as that, like, how do we express that as God's people? I pointed to Jesus' word there to kind of point out where he's connecting with that in Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, to say, you know, if you're going to seek the Lord and seek his kingdom, that in and of itself is saying, because I can't do it myself, or nobody else can do it for me, really, I'm dependent on God. It's his life, his kingdom, his way. And we said the way we do that is by, you know, seeking his righteousness and trying to live his way. And that's where some of our, it's not self-sufficiency, but effort on our part comes in. And maybe that's a good distinction, where it's not just, you know, me making my own way. It is me, I guess you could say, kind of pulling my weight or fulfilling my responsibility. You know, my kids are at an age where, you know, they're getting to the point where they can do a lot more now, you know, 10 and 11 years old. And we talk about, like, hey, we're all part of the same family, right? And how do we, you know, so mom and dad, we have maybe different responsibility. We have jobs. We're doing that. We have obviously greater physical abilities at this point. We have a lot of life experience. But you're of an age now where you can have responsibility too and contribute to this, not only our relationships, but to the work around the house or in the garden or whatever it might be. And so what does that look like for you, given your age and ability? And I think that's, as we look at how we live in the world, one, we want to constantly be acknowledging that we are dependent on the Lord. You know, I'm doing a little reflecting on Psalm 103. We have a funeral service tomorrow, and that was a favorite passage of this individual. And the opening of that, and really all throughout, just acknowledges, it's all just really in praise of how God meets us, who are completely needy in our sins, and provides for us, right? And Psalm 104 right after that is the same story, God's provision. So to live that way and to know humbly that my life at the most basic level is only there because of God. And my fruitfulness and flourishing can only happen as I lean on him, as I look to him, as I live his way, which is also depending on him. Not my way, not me setting the agenda, but God's agenda. That's also a dependence on him. Even if I'm living and doing all these things and tending my garden in the midst of that, right? There's still, that's all based on God's way. So then I think if I translate that to my relationships with others, a couple thoughts. One, that should lead me to be more humble as I approach everyone else, not knowing where they're maybe at, understanding that, you know, I need the Lord for everything I do, and then maybe I can help someone to learn how to use their gifts and abilities wherever they're at So they can flourish and be more fruitful. It's also understanding, I think, too, that everyone has different ability and gifts. Obviously, there's those in our society whose abilities are quite a bit different, even if they age, right, because of maybe certain health things. Their intelligence or physical ability might be like that of a child. And that, I would think, mostly we wouldn't say, like, well, that person, why can't they just pull up their bootstraps? And we understand that. But we don't apply, you know, and think about that maybe in a larger sense. Mm. Even for, you know, a lot of adults, say, out there, there's a lot of capability, but there's limiting factors for every one of us. We don't do everything well. Sometimes we really struggle to do certain things, not because we're not trying, because maybe things that have happened in our lives are just we aren't given a greatness of that ability, right? So it's trying to understand that, and where can we help someone? We all need each other when it comes down to it. We talk about this in the Christian community, this interdependence of God's people. I just was in a group just now, and we were looking at Genesis 2, which we were in a couple weeks ago, and that verse, it's not good for man to be alone. And part of that is, yeah, we're not made to be isolated. We are interdependent, of course, on God, but then even on each other. We need to lift each other up. The image of the body Paul gives. So I'm kind of going on a little, but that humility that comes from understanding who we are before the Lord and how we take that to our relationships. And there are times when, just like talking with our tending our garden with the Lord, where we might need a little kick in the rear to kind of say, hey, you are, you're just kind of doing the pixie dust thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you are fully capable of doing some work here, and you're called to do that. But there's other times when that's not the approach that's needed and maybe isn't even the right thing to say to a person in a certain situation. They need maybe someone else to help them, or they just need you to lift them up in that moment so that later on they can be more, quote unquote, independent. They can help others. They can flourish.
One of the images that really helped my wife and I as we were going through premarital counseling, so you're getting ready to get married, was, you know, all this discussion about how, you know, you think, you know, a relationship should be 50-50. You're each putting in equal effort. And it's like, well, that is not necessarily realistic. Sometimes, you know, if I'm sick, I'm not doing well, I can only put in 20%. And then my wife has to come up and take up 80% of the work that's going in. And then our situations may change. And I'm giving 80% and she can only do 20. And it's like, it's one of those situations where I think, especially in our faith, like, we can't be expecting everyone to be putting in the exact same amount of effort all the time because that's just not reasonable. We all have things going on at different times. And so I really like that, you know, coming alongside and saying, hey, I can see you're struggling to be able to pour into your garden as much. Let me help take care of your garden for a while. And then maybe in the future that can be returned.
Right. I mean, in the marriage, it's a basic relationship kind of pointing out to the whole, but we could see that even in our church staff, right? Someone comes in with a question about audio and sound, they can come to me, but I don't really have the skill set, the knowledge, the gifts to probably help them a lot, whereas Austin can do that, right?
I mean, and if someone comes to me and is asking me about anything in Greek or Hebrew, that I'm the wrong person to talk to about that.
So yeah, and in a marriage too. I mean, it's great to think like, oh yeah, you're going to do, but why even do that? It's almost in some ways a waste of our energy when we talk about smart seeking. You know, if my wife is very good at certain things, it's not like I shouldn't ever try or do that, but, you know, oh, you're going to handle this part of our life and our household, I'll handle this part because I'm, you know, more naturally gifted to that. And that's part of working together. Like we said, in the body of the church is a larger picture and every part is needed. And yes, yeah, certain ones are maybe presentable, as Paul says, they're on the stage, so to speak, and others are kind of, you know, treated with greater care. And but it's all part of the same. There's a need that we have for each other. So even those biblical images should drive us back to not only, of course, fundamentally our need of the Lord each and every day for everything we have, but even that need of each other. Like, we're made for that because none of us is truly self-sufficient when it comes down to it. So
absolutely. And one of the other questions that kind of ties into that, especially around that smart seeking element, sorry, tongue-tied a little there, you mentioned that it's really important for us to keep asking ourselves, do our lives show that our relationship to the Lord is our top priority? Mm. And I think that's a really important thing for us to keep asking ourselves. I mean, on a personal level, it's very easy to often say, yeah, for sure, that's my top priority, because I, you know, I might think about it or feel a lot. But then sometimes when it comes into the actual living out of it, that's not necessarily what's displayed. And I think the worst example of this, the worst offender for myself and for a lot of other people, is when it comes to social media and our public image, as it were. It's really easy for me to say, yeah, you know, Jesus is my top priority. And then my entire public image is dedicated towards something completely else that might be related, that I might be like, this is motivated by my love for Christ, but it is my public, I'm known for something else that is not Christ himself. And so I'm wondering then, in that context, for those of us who truly do value the Lord and want to wisely steward our public testimony, how do we demonstrate that Christ's sacrifice and grace are our top priority, rather than these secondary but still related issues? I feel like that does really tie in a lot to the smart seeking portion of the sermon, but I'll let you kind of...
Yeah, what's fruitful and what's not. Boy, there's kind of a bundle of
there's a lot
questions
in there,
or strands there. And I think you're right. I mean, we talked about how easy it is for us to say that our relationship with the Lord and tending that garden is our top priority. Of course, it should be. It's the living that out that is the hard part. And I mean, I think fundamentally my answer would be, when we are tending that garden, it's going to match up more and more, right? When I am really spending that time with the Lord in my life, and I know I'm spending time in prayer or spending time in his word, I'm coming to worship and I'm really there present with God's people, having conversations like this, it does impact the rest of my life. And my, whether it's the way I'm treating people or the things I'm posting about, perhaps that priority is going to show through the way I'm responding to people on social media, versus, yes, here's what I'm presenting, and it's all about you know, the trips I'm going on and the stuff I'm accumulating, or it's all about me getting my way or making my point of over against someone else. Like, this, that's not showing necessarily where it's showing where my priority is, but not that it's my relationship with the Lord. I mean, sometimes too, made me think of it when you kind of presented the social media side of it. A lot of that is that we kind of present a bit of a false view of ourselves. Like, here's all the good things that are happening.
This is what I would like you to think about me, not necessarily what I'm actually like.
And of course, we can do that in our relationship with the Lord, to use the garden image, right? I can take a bunch of pictures of somebody else's garden, post it on my thing, and boy, he's a great gardener. And I can take, you know, just little phrases or things that I know sound good, that look like a good garden with the Lord, put them there. I can put, of course, Christ follower in my profile at the top of it, and kind of create that image, even if it's not the reality. So I think that's, we want the reality to match what we say, who we say we are, and carrying the name Christian. And again, I think that just fundamentally goes to that self-evaluation of, what does that look like in my life? Again, just to use some of those examples of where are we putting our focus, our energy, and to use your example of some of these, well, we talked about a week or so ago, the secondary issues, or of course the kind of cultural issues, especially. But a lot of times what we're fighting about is not really theological things. I'll say this as a pastor who sometimes gets frustrated. We're having cultural conversations and pretending they're theological.
Absolutely.
Or thinking they are theological.
And we can tie in our theology to a cultural issue, but it's not a theological issue necessarily.
It's more like tied on like somebody being dragged behind a car, like, oftentimes. But to say that, like, we can put a lot of energy into researching a quote or a certain thing so that I can make a point to somebody else on social media or in a conversation. And I use the example of, you know, me with my spreadsheets for baseball. We could put a lot of effort. And it's not often even a bad thing to put efforts into, certainly our work, our families, all this stuff. But again, is my effort into my relationship with the Lord coming anywhere near some of those other efforts and research and time and energy? If it is, I believe those things will fall in their proper place. It's not like you won't post about fun trips you're going on, or that you wouldn't occasionally even say, like, I think perhaps this cultural idea going on is wrong or off. But probably the way you'll do that will look a little bit differently. And the emphasis of it will also, again, come down beneath probably, again, who you are in Christ. So this is, you know, as you bring this up, I think for me too, this is, and all of us, is going to always be there. This is always a fight. It's like, you know, fighting the elements when we're gardening. You know, these animals are coming, trying to eat stuff, and then the frost is coming. What are we going to do? And, you know, the weather, big storm, you know, this is for us. The enemy's always trying to fight. He'd love for us to get lost in the weeds and get caught up in this, that, or the other, and just to, well, we got to talk about that, and we're not focusing on our relationship with the Lord. We're not tending that garden. So, again, it maybe sounds kind of fundamental, but
we need to come back to the fundamentals. There's a reason they're the fundamentals.
And that's, again, that's what bears fruit. I mean, this, you think about all the efforts we go into to try and make a point about this or that, and the arguments, not just on social media, but face-to-face sometimes. It's like, well, what has really come of that? Not much fruit in most cases.
Yeah.
Usually we just go further apart, even in the church. Nobody's like all of a sudden like, oh, well, of course, Austin, I never heard that argument before, and now I believe everything you say. No, that's usually not how it's going, because I think we're not coming from that foundation of our relationship with the Lord, at least not as the most important thing. Our relationship maybe to our own culture, frankly, very often, is the most important thing to us. And that, if we're coming from that place, it's going to lead to, what, I think, more of what we've been seeing. So, yeah, there's a lot to maybe talk further about there, but...
Yeah, well, and we can always get into that later, but I think that does kind of also tie into this next portion I'd like to talk about, which is resilience and perseverance. Mm. You know, because as we're cultivating these spiritual gardens, we're going to come across dry spells, metaphorically and literally, as the case may be. There might be sickness, metaphorically or literally. And we really need to, when we talked about this, that we really need to be developing, you know, this perseverance, this resilience. And I would love it if you'd be able to break down for us a little bit what it means to be resilient and what it means to have perseverance. Are they the same thing? How do we engage with them as believers? And how specifically, how do we grow in those practices?
Yeah. I mean, as we're talking about gardens, I think those two things definitely are, they're in the same garden, right? They're kind of in the same family. I'd have to look up the definitions, right, even of the English words to see, you know, maybe where some distinction would come in. You know, I think of resilience in a way. There's maybe the ability to almost kind of fight through things that come, right? Even think of your body being resilient to disease or something. It's kind of this ability to ward off things that would take you down, right? So maybe there's a little distinction there of, and maybe that flowing from the relationship with the Lord of having His Word dwelling richly in our hearts, and to be able then to kind of, in the spiritual armor aspect, ward off some of those attacks. Whereas perseverance is this kind of long standing, just going to keep going, right? Even though sometimes you do get hit, right? And you do get knocked down, and you do go through a dry season, and you're not sure what the Lord is doing, but you're going to keep going forward in His direction, in His strength. So maybe slight, you know, a slight way of thinking of them a little bit differently. But yeah, how do we develop that? Probably in a lot of different ways. I was thinking of Azariah in this text. You know, he says, gives this example of how God's people have gone through some of these ups and downs before, and maybe times they get off, but then they sought the Lord, and, you know, just calling that to be strong, right, and continue to do this tending, really, to continue to do this renewal work. And that's part of it, I think, is to see that God does want this relationship and has fruitfulness there for us, right, that there's, we can't keep working at it. It's not like we've exhausted that, you know, which could be discouraging. For like, well, we've tried everything, and it hasn't worked, so I guess we just give up. Like, no, there's always work to do. We can always go back to Scripture and see, you know, how is God speaking to us? What is He saying? What do I need to hear? We can be in church and worship and talking with each other in the community and see at stage of life, God's saying, you need to serve here. You need to do this now. You've had this experience. You have these gifts. So even knowing that, hey, there is responsibility He's entrusting me with can help me persevere. Besides that, I think, boy, what a help it is to have brothers and sisters in the faith too.
Amen.
To walk with, right? Because, you know, we talked about this even with physical fitness. So often we need the encouragement and accountability of somebody else. Like, oh, man, I'm sore today. I don't want to go. But yeah, well, I'm going. Yeah, let's. All right. Yeah, if you're going, I'm going. And that same thing in the church, right? You know, again, thinking about going through trials and struggles and, you know, griefs in our life, and we all do. To have someone else come along to encourage, to kind of be there, you know, to just embrace us at times, but also to kind of lift us at times. That helps us keep going. I tell a story sometimes. I remember I was a freshman in college, getting ready for our baseball season. It was like the winter when we started training, and boy, the coaches were going to whip us in shape, right? And you know, so we're running all over the place, doing all these things, and I get a cramp, all right, in my side. And if you've had that before, it's kind of hard to keep going. Yeah. So I'm lagging way behind. And one of the seniors came up and kind of came beside and just like, kind of ran with me the last couple of go backs and forth. And that was a huge. I wasn't exactly speeding then at that point. I was still hurting, but I felt like I was going again, right? To have that person come alongside me. So I think that's a huge piece. We build that resiliency and that perseverance. It's not just like, well, figure it out, Austin. You're on your own. I can't help you there. We're supposed to, we're running this race together with the host of heaven cheering us on in the language of Hebrews 12, right? Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So it's even bigger than what we see here on earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think just the reminders of God's love for us. I mean, that, of course, is beneath and above all of this, that he has persevered with us. He keeps going with us. He keeps coming after us. His compassion covers our sins. And that reminder of his longing for this relationship with us, his willingness to go all the way to the cross, picks us back up when we're down too. So it's a big thing. We need that strength. We need that resilience and perseverance because it's a long journey and because there are obstacles on the way.
Yeah, absolutely. What can we be looking forward to in this next week?
So Pastor Eric's going to be leading us in the preaching of the sermon this week, and so looking forward to that. We're going to be back in 2 Chronicles 15 again, and just the idea here is in our gardens, you know, we've made the plan, we kind of set the direction, but then there's stuff we got to clear out, obstacles that need to be removed if we're really going to have a garden that's fruitful. Sometimes it's my big stones, sometimes it's weeds as the summer maybe goes on. Other things that just need to be removed. And then in our spiritual life, our spiritual garden, right, there's sometimes idols especially that need to be removed. And we see the king and the people taking down some of those idols in that time. And so I think Pastor E is going to have some thoughts, you know, what are some idols maybe? Maybe it's pride, selfishness, greed, whatever, that get in our way and that we need to look at and try to be removing so that we can grow and be fruitful in our relationship with the Lord. So looking forward to it. I think I'll be, as I often am when Pastor E preaches, I'll be a helpful prop in some things that's going on stage. But yeah, looking forward to that time. So
yeah, me too. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for your time today. Thank you all for joining us, and we will see you all next time.